B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm so happy to be in Tampa Bay, and I wanted to say thank you guys for welcoming me and my family into your community with open arms outside of getting kicked out of the park the other day. I'm so excited to be a Buck. So we have an incredibly exciting season ahead. I can't wait until we can get together as a team, start our practices, and start working hard to improve. There's a lot of work to be put in between now and the start of the season, but I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at Raymond James in a couple short months. I promise you that. So stay safe, everyone, and let's go Bucks.
Boy, some things you're just never going to get used to. Let's go Bucks, says Tom Brady. Obviously, that was an Instagram post from Brady earlier in the offseason. And, again, still hard to absorb those words. 617-779-0985 here on Agenda Free Friday. Just a reminder that Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. And as we do on every Friday at this time, we welcome in Chris Gasper, now of WCVB-TV Channel 5. And before I get to Gasper, who apparently has a bone to pick with Patriots fans and with whom I have a bone to pick, Gasper is powered by the commuter rail. Remember, if you're an essential worker, a medical professional, a first responder, the MBTA is running additional commuter rail trains into Boston to help you arrive for your early morning shift and social distance while on board. Very important. Visit MBTA.com/coronavirus for schedules and more information. So, hour number three of the program. Mike's out today. Jim Murray is alongside. Joe Murray is here to give us headlines. Just told us again, Joe Flacco signing with the New York Jets, presumably will be the backup to Sam Darnold. I can't imagine it's anything other than that. And so think of that. Joe Flacco has a job. Cam Newton does not. I would just pass that along as a little tidbit of information. But again, Chris Gasper now in studio. And Gasper, what's your issue with Patriots fans?
Yeah, I just think that it's interesting and a little bit provincial how many people are like, oh, enough about Brady. I don't want to hear what Brady's doing. Brady's doing this in Tampa. He's doing that. You know, he's not on our team anymore. I don't care. Tom Brady was not only relevant because he was on your team. Tom Brady's relevant because he's one of the most famous athletes in the world. He's one of the most famous people in the world. People care about what Tom Brady does, whether he's wearing your team's laundry or not. Get over it. It's like they care what Tiger Woods is doing. It's like they cared what Wayne Gretzky did. Do you think the people in Edmonton were like, geez, I don't ever want to hear about Wayne Gretzky because he's not here anymore? It's like Michael Jordan. You think when Michael Jordan came back with the Wizards, people in Chicago were like, geez, there should be no Michael Jordan news reported here because he's not on our team anymore. Like, the guy transcends your team. He transcends the sport, and everything he does is going to be of interest to sports fans across the country, particularly during a pandemic. So stop complaining about all the Tom Brady news. It's not to rub it in your face. It's not because he's not on your team. It's because he's Tom freaking Brady.
Yeah, but Chris, you also use the word provincialism, and having grown up around here like you have, you do know that
For
better or worse, and likely the latter, provincialism runs deep here. So you know, him leaving here, you forgot where you came from. I hate you now. Like, that's you can't be that surprised by it.
So, Chris, is there anyone in particular you're speaking about or just fans in general?
No, just in general. In general. Now, I heard you while I was driving around today. I was not aimed at you in particular, and I didn't even know you guys had had a discussion earlier this week on this. So it wasn't aimed at you in particular. It's just a general sense I've gotten from some people who are frustrated about hearing about Brady working out with the Bucks players, or they're frustrated about hearing about Brady doing this 9-part series and this, that, and the other. It's like, look, Tom Brady's a newsmaker. I covered two games where the Patriots played in London, and all the British press cared about was Tom Brady. They knew exactly who he was. They knew exactly who he was married to. He's an international presence. Like, just because he left your team, you're not going to be able to shut off the spigot of Tom Brady news.
Where is he? Where is he? Oh, there he is. He looks smashing. So, Chris, when you said this, I just want to clarify something I said yesterday, because I think a lot of people took it that way. And what I said was, what I'm really sick of is Brady selling us himself. That is really what I'm sick of. The Tom Brady news, I'm always interested in the Tom Brady news. I'm as interested in Tom Brady as anybody else. But I said yesterday, I've had it up to here with Tom Brady between the 9-part documentary, the immunity powder, like it's Brady, Brady, Brady selling Brady. And that's the part of Brady that's driving me bananas. But since you brought it up, you mentioned Brady being an international brand and the games in London. I brought this up at the beginning of the program. I'm curious as to your perspective.
Sure.
If I were to say to you as a cultural phenomenon, Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, are they the same? What would you say?
I mean, they're not the same, but I think they're similar in that they transcend their sport. You can talk to someone who has no interest in football and say Tom Brady, and they're like, oh, yeah, that really handsome guy who shows up at the Met Gala. Like, that is the same thing with Jordan. It's like, oh, that guy who has the sneakers? It's similar in that regard. They're not the same. They don't have the same charisma. And Tom Brady actually has done more for civil rights than Michael Jordan ever did. I'll give Brady that.
Okay, so the civil rights thing with Jordan, the criticisms are valid, and there were some parts on that in the Last Dance, I think, that were worthy of bringing up. Jordan wouldn't go yeah. near anything even remotely political, wanted nothing to do with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, still wouldn't admit he was wrong on that, or that even just saying, like, hey, you know what, looking back, that Harvey Gantt, Jesse Helms, who was frankly one of the most racist politicians in the history of this country. You know what? You know, if I could go back and do it again, maybe I would have done it a little differently. Nope. He said, well, you know, it doesn't matter. No matter what I did, people would have been upset. Cannot admit that he's wrong, ever.
Chris, I don't. In terms of international branding power, I don't think Brady and Jordan are in the same universe.
I think recognition-wise they are. In terms of the brand, no. Because, I mean, who else has the Jumpman? Who else has their own? Literally has their own brand, Jordan brand? But like recognition, like people know who Tom Brady is across the globe. It's like it's akin here to, like, again, I'll look at, if you go overseas, right? If you know, when Cristiano Ronaldo ended up leaving Real Madrid, do you think the people in Madrid were like, geez, never want to hear about that guy again? Or if Lionel Messi leaves Barcelona, the soccer fans in Barcelona are going to say, oh, man, I don't ever want to hear about what that guy does. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, just because the guy's not on your team, that doesn't mean he's going to just disappear. He's the face of the league. If you don't want to hear any news about him, stop following football.
Blah. Okay, before we get to my issue with you, I want to take a call. Okay, so let's go to Matt in Worcester, who wants to touch on Brady and Jordan. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, I appreciate you taking the call. So just on Brady and Jordan, right? So right off the bat, it's not fair to say that Brady isn't on Jordan's level because of the brand, and I'm going to ultimately conclude that Jordan is above Brady, like international star wise. But the brand isn't fair because he sells shoes. Everyone needs shoes. Everyone wears sneakers. Not only that, but he sold those in the 80s when those type of shoes were literally the most popular thing imaginable.
He's still selling them now.
Yeah, no crap, he's still selling them right now, Tony. Do you still wear shoes?
No, but the point is they're still the most popular shoe now, and he hasn't played in 20 years.
Yeah, of course they're the most popular shoes because every rapper in the world wears them. You know what the most popular type of music, like, right now is? Hip-hop. You know what every hip-hop star talks about in their songs? Air Jordans. But ultimately, like, even though Jordan didn't do anything to, like, you know, bridge the racial divide and maybe he could have done things differently, you know, Bill Russell won 11 championships, but the 70s weren't really a fair time for African Americans. In the 80s and 90s weren't either. Maybe it's getting better now. Well, Jordan was able to do that when things were getting better. So he became like kind of an icon. And, you know, he may not have helped civil rights along with his word choices or what he chose to say, but his actions, you know, he made a black American an icon. Like, he was able to do that. I appreciate you taking the call.
So Matt, thank you for the call. I'm trying to avoid turning this into a political discussion. It's not typically what we do in this program. I'm talking about the player becoming an international phenomenon because of the sport he played and what it may lead to.
Yeah.
Okay. And Chris, I don't dispute the fact that Brady's got a tremendous reach. But I happen to, when the callers are talking about, well, Jordan sold shoes and everybody wears sneakers. Exactly. That's exactly my point. Sure. As Murray would say, Brady's more unrelatable. He's selling nuts for $150 a bag, while Jordan is selling $150 sneakers. They're totally different. One appeals to the masses. Who's going to spend $150 on a bag of nuts? So, like, of course, to me,
caught flack too, Tony. I mean, because people were killing each other in the 80s and 90s over those sneakers. So,
sure.
You know, Jordan caught flack. And I didn't think that was fair to Jordan, by the way. But I'm just saying Jordan caught flack for his marketing, too.
Yeah, and my point was, in terms of the athlete, since the caller also brought it up, I would tell you that Brady's every bit the winner that Jordan was, maybe more. I mean, to me, in terms of inside the arena, Nah, Brady is to the NFL what Jordan was to the NBA. I don't have any problem comparing that to the two of those things. I would tell you, though, that spilling outside of the arena, that Jordan was much more of a global phenomenon than Brady was.
Yeah,
That's all.
I just look at it as if I was like a marketing snake working for some big company. Who would I rather have as a pitchman? And even though he's been removed from the game for 25 years or whatever it's been, it's still Jordan to me. Or 20 years, I would go with Jordan over Brady. Because Brady's just like, again, my favorite athlete of all time. I hate to have you have to even preface that. But he's just not cool. He's not.
No, I think he's cool.
Yeah.
Shocker.
I mean, but I'm just saying, look, my point is not about who's the better brand representative. My point is just the idea that people are saying, oh, I'm oversaturated with Tom Brady. Maybe part of it is the TB12 stuff and what he's pitching there. I wasn't really focusing on that. It was more sort of the idea that there's constant news about him and people are saying, well, I don't want to hear about that anymore. And it's like, well, okay, you're going to have to not follow football.
Oh, well, there's
everything this guy does as a celebrity is going to be news because he's that famous.
They're stupid babies. The OTA thing, like, get over it. I was actually pumped for it because it's almost like a middle finger to Bill. Like, yeah, now I care again because I didn't care the last couple of years because of you.
But even the documentary thing, people were like, oh, I don't want to hear about the documentary. I mean, he's a famous guy, and he's doing something like that. It's going to be news.
The documentary, it is news, but I feel like it's forced and also premature. Like, wait till you're retired for a 9-part documentary, Tom.
So that's what my issue is, Chris, again. And there was a caller who put it this way yesterday, because yeah. I find Peyton Manning to be way more relatable than Brady. Way more. And people said, well, Manning sells all the same stuff. Or Manning is a pitch man. Fine. Manning gives me Bud Light. Manning gives me Papa John's. Manning gives me Chevy, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay? Fine. Manning gives me all that
Nationwide
stuff.
Nationwide insurance?
Yeah. Brady just sells me himself constantly. It's always something Tom Brady, TB12. And that's the part I'm getting sick of. Yeah.
Under Armour, Uggs, Unreal Candy. There are things that he sells that aren't him.
Okay, I didn't say there weren't. I'm just telling you that lately it's always Tom Brady. It's TB12, and it's Peyton Manning's not selling me PM19. Okay, it's just it's not that over and over again. That's the part of Brady to me that is becoming a little hard to take. That's the part I'm getting sick of. I can't speak for other people out there, but there's something else that you wrote in your email about Brady this morning that frankly pissed me off.
Oh, good.
I was in my car. I was out running errands. I was walking in and out of stores and whatnot, and mostly helping my father with something. When I saw something you wrote in the email, I went, is Gasper serious about this? Really? Is Gasper serious about this? So I'm going to ask you when we come back, because I read it and went, Gasper's out of his mind. Most of the time, Gasper and I are in alignment. I think we see things very similarly. And you know that I think the world of you as a writer, this might have been the stupidest thing you've ever written. Seriously, holy
crap.
That's
a pretty high bar to clear.
We'll tell you what that was when we come back.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now, after the sixth championship, things were beyond our control.
Because it would have been suicidal at that point in their careers to bring back Pippen, Steve Kerr, Rodman, Ron Harper. Their market value individually was going to be too high. They weren't going to be worth the money they were going to get in the market.
So when we realized that we were going to have to go into a rebuild, I went to Phil and said, offered him the opportunity to come back the next year. But he said, I don't want to go through a rebuild. I don't want to coach a bad team. That was the end. It just came to an end on its own. Had Michael been healthy and wanted to come back, I don't doubt that Kraus could have rebuilt another championship team in a couple of years. But, it wasn't going to happen instantly.
In 98, Kraus already said at the beginning of the season, Phil can go 82-0. And he was never going to be the coach. So when Phil said it was the last dance, it was the last dance. We knew they weren't going to keep the team. Now, they could have nixed all of it at the beginning of 98. Why say that statement at the beginning of 98? If you ask all the guys who won in 98, Steve Kerr, Jeff Busler, blah, blah, blah. We give you 1 year contract to try for 7. You think they would have signed? Yes, they would have signed. Would I sign for 1 year? Yes, I would have signed for 1 year. I've been signing 1 year contracts up to that. With Phil done it? Yes. Now, Pip, you would have to do some convincing, but if Phil was going to be there, if Dennis was going to be there, if MJ was going to be there to win a 7th, Pip is not going to miss out on that.
Again, final segments of The Last Dance. And we touched on this earlier in the week. So before I get to my real bone of contention with Chris Gasper and something he wrote in our email exchange this morning, I do want to just ask him this question because we discussed it earlier in the week. Michael Jordan said at the end, we could have gotten another year or two out of that run. Jordan, I think, would have been 35 that December after winning the championship. So he won his last championship with the Bulls at age 34. And or maybe he had already turned 35. I might be getting the birthday wrong. But anyway, you get the idea. And the Bulls elected to rip it apart, and they haven't won since. So the question we asked earlier in the week, Chris, was 20 years from now, are we going to be looking back on this offseason with the Patriots and say, could the Patriots have squeezed a little more out of it? Was, did they prematurely pull the plug? Could they have gotten more out of the marriage between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? Yes or no?
Yes, I think they could have, especially when you look at the rest of the roster. I mean, even subtracting Brady and guys like Van Noy and Daron Harmon and Jamie Collins, they had the oldest roster by average age in the NFL last year. Really, they have a team that's built to win now. And you had the ultimate win now quarterback, and you swapped him out for what? We don't even know. We don't even know what they've swapped him out for. Is it Stidham? Is it Hoyer? Is it somebody else?
So Murray believes that there was zero chance of that happening because Bill wasn't just going to lower himself to do the things that would be necessary to appease Brady and keep him here. And for that matter, Gronkowski too, right? The two of them basically have left town because they just were done dealing with Bill. So Murray believes it was not possible. Do you also believe that it was never going to happen because Bill was never going to give that up in order to keep Brady and Gronk here?
I mean, there was a window there after the end of the season where I think if Bill had approached things a little bit differently, that it could have worked. It could have worked. Now, do you want to say he was never going to do it? I don't know. I think if he wanted Tom back, he could have done it. I think that sort of in a sort of discreet way, you know, he was ready to move on too. And I think he sort of made that clear.
He was done with him. I think it was pretty evident. And if he really wanted to, I think he has it within him. He's not that much of a stubborn a-hole. He would have changed his ways. He's ready to move on. They're both ready to move on.
But I also kind of think, you know, I go back and forth on this one because I also kind of think that there was still some thought in the back of Bill's mind that Brady would just fall in line, that he would just capitulate. It's like, well, where else are you going to go? You're not going to really go play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're not really going to go play for the LA Chargers. You're just going to take the deal that we give you, and you'll be back on my terms, and we will take another shot at it.
So that in a perfect world, Chris, right, that Brady would have done what he'd done in the past and caved, and Bill would have brought him back, and so that in a perfect world, Bill actually thought that he was going to get another year out of it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he was okay either way. But it was sort of like, well, if he comes back, he can come back on my terms and I can do this for one more year. We can take another look at Stidham. But it's like, I'm not really interested, you know, sort of in making a longer term commitment to him. Although I will say, I mean, as I reported before, you know, last summer, there was a 2-year offer on the table to Brady. But it's like by the time they got around to it, you know, they had sort of so alienated him in contract discussions that it was like, forget it. Just give me, you know, just adjust my contract and let me control my destiny at the end of the year.
Okay, quickly, Mike in Salem. Mike, go.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, guys. Big fan. This is just for Gasper. I wanted to explain how the Patriots feel. It's kind of, or Patriots fans feel.
Sure.
It's kind of like Brady broke up with us. Even if, you know, you have the best intentions for him, I'll still be a fan. I'll still watch him in Tampa Bay. But, you know, hearing this news this week, it's kind of like hearing your ex, you know, sleeping around with their new partner. And, you know, although Tom Brady's been telling you the last 2 years that he can't get it up for you, and now, you know, he's got a sex life again. So it just kind of stings. So even if you love Tom Brady, it's still a period of hurt, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, yeah, a little bit. And I sort of understand that analogy. It's just sort of what I don't get, I guess, is sort of like the resentment. And it would be like anybody, right, who has like a famous ex. Like, okay, you dated this person. They were famous. They were great. You lived a great lifestyle with them. Then you break up, and it's like all of a sudden you expect them to not be on whatever show they're on or on a billboard and on Sunset Boulevard they're on. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, it's up to you to sort of censor it. You can't sort of lash out and be like, well, I don't want to hear it. Take it off this. Take it off that. You know, you have to self-censor. But the rest of the world's going to go on and still be interested in that person.
But still, that's a pretty good analogy. It's got to be that had to be tough initially to see Brady all tarted up in his creamsicle uniform with his hot new friends, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk down there too, although he wasn't participating.
Cameron Brate.
Yeah. And now you're left here.
OJ Howard.
N'Keal Harry and Gunnar Olszewski, these duds with the nice personalities. Like, okay, I mean, it's tough, but you just get over it. I mean,
let me ask you, just Mario, just out of curiosity, out of the skill position group, who would be the doughy six?
Oh, well, Olszewski. Oh, but he's so nice, though. Yeah. Is he hot? How's that ass? He's a nice guy.
Doughy six, Olszewski. He's like a two. What are you talking about, Murray Olszewski being a doughy six?
He's got a real good personality.
Oh, God, for this at this stage, you know, N'Keal Harry's a doughy six, or maybe even Edelman. Edelman's getting older every day. I mean, at one point, he was a solid like 8.5, 9. Now, as he's getting older, he's the doughy six.
He's a goer, though. He'll work it.
Okay. As for Gasper in his email this morning, this line here, I started shaking my head going,
because it was that good, right? Just the sheer genius of it.
I was starting to wonder whether you, like everybody else that I ran into out on the road this morning, had taken your stupid pills this morning.
Oh, now. The roads are terrible. You're right about that. Oh, hey, people, it's called the signal light. Try using it.
Here's what you wrote. TB12 is literally the face that launched an entire era here in Boston sports. He is responsible for all 12 of those Boston sports championships since 2001, in a way. He and Belichick raised the bar for all the teams here. Have some freaking gratitude, people. Now, the last line I agree with you on. I think the fans should have some gratitude. But, Chris.
Yes.
Responsible for all 12 championships?
Yes.
All 12?
Yes.
Oh, so Tom Brady won them all.
They raised the bar to a point here that if you wanted to be relevant, you had to have a championship team. It's like the Magic and Bird rivalry. That rivalry pushed those two guys to another level. And the same thing here. We all know it. Everybody who's in this business knows it. The Patriots and the Red Sox, there's a rivalry there. And I think the Patriots being relevant the way they were, winning those championships, it changed everything here. I mean, he is the face that launched an entire era. I will not back down from that one bit. And it got to a point where the Bruins couldn't just pocket their playoff money. They had to actually compete for a cup. And the Celtics went out there and got Garnett. Because if you weren't a championship contender, then it was the Patriots and you were like irrelevant. It was everybody else. They made it so everybody in this town had to be at a championship level. Absolutely.
Okay, so the line about the face that launched an entire era, I don't disagree with the face part. Okay, I don't disagree then. I don't even disagree with the idea that he and Belichick raised a bar.
Okay.
The part that honestly sent me bananas, responsible for all 12 championships, did Michael Jordan raise a bar in Chicago? Did he do that?
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
He did not, no.
Or did he raise
because
the bar?
Because that's not as good a sports town as we are. It's not the same thing.
Oh, so it's just a Boston thing then?
Yeah, it was a Boston thing.
It only happened here because this is... So
yes, Tom, yes, because this is the greatest sports town in America with the greatest sports fans, Tony.
Okay.
Don't understand.
Okay, so how much of that championship in 2001 was really about Brady? If that's the one that elevated the whole thing, I would argue 2001 was more about Belichick and the defense and even the kicker. For crying out loud, than it was about Brady. Now again, if he's the face, but he's responsible for all 12?
Yes. Indirectly responsible for all 12.
Kevin Garnett wanted to come here?
The Celtics had to coax him to come here because they knew to be relevant, they had to compete for a championship. Yes. Yes. He changed the entire culture. Yes.
Chris,
this is where
you lose me, though. This is where you lose me. So I'm not saying that Brady didn't have a hand in that.
Okay.
But if this idea that Brady could singularly change the culture and raise the bar, there's never been anyone else like Brady that's been a great player that raised the bar. It's not about Brady, it's about the city. It's about the intensity here and the fact that we like to win. So that is what fed into it. Jordan raised the bar in Chicago, but nobody lived up to it. Jordan was as good. Jordan, all the great players, wherever they go, raise a bar. The question is, does everyone else respond to it? Is it innate in that area? Is it part of the DNA of that area to rise to that challenge?
Sure.
To me, that's where that's the distinction. I give credit to Boston. I give credit to the individual organization. But I don't give Brady credit for the Bruins winning a cup, for the Celtics winning a championship, for the Red Sox winning four. Like, so somehow Tom Brady is responsible for David Ortiz?
Indirectly. I'm not saying he's directly responsible, Maz. I'm saying indirectly what he and Belichick did, raising the bar around here for what the teams had to do. They're all competitive with each other. They were on the entertainment industry. They're competing against each other for the entertainment dollar. The other teams knew they had to step it up. Because the Patriots went from being at the bottom to being at the very top. And here they are winning three Super Bowls in 4 years. It's like, okay, if you want to be the kings of the town, which the Red Sox were forever, it's like, you got to win something. Like, it's not just enough to be the Red Sox. And then now the Red Sox start winning. And now there's more pressure on the Bruins and the Celtics. And the Celtics hadn't won since 86. I'm sure they all wanted to win. But there's a difference between wanting to win and needing to win. It's like what Jim was saying earlier. You always need that person to push you. You know, and if you're looking over at somebody over here and you're jealous or you're envious or you think that they're really sort of condescending towards you and you're like, you want to show them, you want to prove it to them, that's what the Patriots were for these other teams.
Oh, I definitely with the Red Sox. I mean, there's definitely, I think, a beef, you know, in terms of how Henry feels about them and trying to win the back page. And, you know, that's why they ended up with the greatest team ever. You know, they always tried to win the back page. You know what? I thought this was kind of silly when I read it in the email. No, I'm on Chris's side. He's right.
Thank you,
Chuck. Well, that's shocking. Pick the side of your partner, the guy you're sitting next to do a show with, Murray, tomorrow. You don't have to see me for a while, as long as we're on remote.
Yeah, Matt, feel free to just take this hour off.
He's on his own tomorrow. I'm taking it off.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, I there's lots of sports dynasties that don't have the ripple effect in cities that this one did. And so, to me, that speaks to the city and the organizations and the demand that we as a fan base have for the teams. That's what it speaks to. It doesn't speak to Brady. I just don't give Brady credit for that. In fact, I think it's kind of insulting to the other teams is how I would take it. Just my two cents, Chris.
It might be insulting, but it's true.
Brady, let's give him credit for Ray Bourque winning one in Colorado, too, while we're at it. What the hell?
Well, that's my point. Like, that
how many
was,
guys won the marathon because of Brady?
But that's my whole point, Maz. It's like we were, you know, all those rolling rallies we've had, which have been amazing. Like, before the Patriots won, and they don't win without Brady because as great as Belichick is, up until that point, he had one playoff win. And he'd gone 5-11 the year before here. So he had one playoff win in his coaching career going back to Cleveland until Brady came here. Now, was Brady at that point? No. But he was a quarterback who made winning plays and didn't make mistakes, and he allowed that system to work. He allowed it to come down to the kicker. And before that, the sort of the culture here was, oh, Ray Bourque won a cup. Like, let's have a celebration in City Hall. Like, it was fine. It was like, oh, the Bruins made the playoffs for the 30th year in a row. That's great.
Yeah, Brady didn't singularly change that, Chris.
I didn't say singularly because I mentioned Belichick, but I do think that they raised the bar. I think they raised the bar for all the teams here, and that if you wanted to be relevant, you had to be a legitimate championship contender, and all these teams compete with each other, and maybe that is what makes the city special, and maybe it wasn't just Brady, Maz, and you're right. You had to have the right conditions there for that to take hold, but I definitely think that Brady and Belichick together and what the Patriots built sort of put everybody on notice.
Yeah, he's got 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 titles. We got to give him 6 more from the other sports? Like, 6 isn't enough? We got to give him the 4 Red Sox titles, the Bruins one, and the Celtics championship too?
So you and Felger, well, actually, I shouldn't use this analogy because you guys have no competition, but you never sort of look at the competition?
But as much as we think they compete with one another, to a degree they do. I mean, for market share, things like that. I get it. But I don't think one has a hand in necessarily the other winning a championship.
Yeah.
One can have a hand in the other one being good.
I think we all get pushed by someone or something. And I definitely think the Patriots sort of pushed these other teams along to step it up.
But a lot of other markets had teams that raised a bar and raised a standard and didn't respond. And it was just about those singular teams. That's all my point. Anyway. Joe Murray's got your headlines. We've already blown by right by 4:30. Jimmy Stewart's going to freaking smash me in the face the next time he sees me with a moist sausage on top of it. Joe Murray's got your headlines. We'll be right back with Casper.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
I'm just a huge Jason Tatum fan. He's about 3 inches taller than 2 to 3 inches taller than Luka Doncic. He's clearly a much better defender. He's averaging nearly 20 points on nearly 45% shooting and nearly 40% shooting from three-point range, which is considerably better than the three-point shooting of Luka. We like to see those step-back threes that he is hit. But nevertheless, he doesn't shoot with the degree of accuracy that that Jason Tatum shoots with from long range. And I just look at Jason Tatum and what he's asked to do and how he's just 22 years of age. Just 22. He's got a handle. He's got a shot. He can go to the hole. He can finish at the basket. Plus, he can defend. I love what I see from Zion. I love what I see from Luka. Both of those candidates clearly have the potential. But I got news for you. It would be a mistake to omit Jason Tatum from this conversation. He is right there, and he could overtake anybody. He's got that kind of skill, that kind of length, that kind of athleticism, that kind of defensive prowess as well. He's got the package, man. He's something special.
Stephen A. Smith engaging in a conversation, obviously, about the young centerpiece players in the NBA. Zion Williamson, a lot of hype there. NBA obviously wants him in the postseason. Luka Doncic having MVP caliber season. I don't think he'll win it, but certainly in the discussion. And then Jason Tatum. Chris Gasper, agree or disagree that Tatum belongs in that conversation?
I agree that he belongs in the conversation, yes. But I just look at it this way. When it comes to Tatum or Luka, any team would be lucky to have either one of these guys. But it's as simple as this for me. Luka is an alpha already. Tatum might be an alpha. And so to me, it's like, what are we really talking about? One guy is, the other guy could be. And Luka's younger than Tatum. I mean, I love Tatum. He's a great player. But Luka's already an alpha, and he has been from the day he stepped in the league. Tatum might get there, but he's not there yet.
But is Tatum a question mark because of the system he's in and the players he's surrounded by?
I mean, look, it's hard to gauge, obviously, Jim, because he's never had to sort of carry a team. You can look at either side of that coin. On the one hand, you can say he's never had the opportunity. On the other hand, you can say he's never had the responsibility, which means he can have an off night. He can have a night where he's not engaged or a night when he doesn't have it, and the team can still win. Luka Doncic doesn't have that luxury in Dallas.
Yeah.
If Luka doesn't have it, they lose.
Because I feel like
that's a different pressure.
The question mark for Tatum is real, but that last couple of weeks before the shutdown because of the pandemic, that's where Tatum really started to show me, at least, like,
sure.
Oh, no, he can be the alpha. He can be that guy. And I just think defensively, too, he's a better player. I love Doncic. I do. I just think there's a hole in his game, and I think that Tatum's just more well-rounded.
Yeah, I think, I'll be honest, this is just my opinion. I think Tatum's improved immensely as a passer, and I've talked about that on the Celtics show this year, and that's been the most impressive thing to me. I think you guys are overrating him a little bit as a defender.
Okay.
I mean, he's certainly long, and when he's engaged, he can be good. But, I mean, you know, we're not talking about Kawhi Leonard here, and I don't think we ever will be. I think Jaylen Brown's a better defender than Tatum.
Yeah, so Chris, the thing I'm interested in is when you say Doncic is already an alpha.
Yeah.
It feels to me like you're factoring in some personality traits here, and I'm not telling you you're wrong for that, that Doncic has some sort of innate or natural leadership qualities that maybe Tatum doesn't possess possess. Is that what you're getting at?
No, what I meant by that was that he's already the number one guy and has to be the number one guy and has to be on every night on a team that's in line to be in the playoffs in the West.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, sure.
It's just sort of a different responsibility than what Tatum has. And you can argue it's unfair to hold that against Tatum. Like I said, you can look at both sides of that coin, but Doncic is an alpha in the league in the same way that, you know, like, I'm not saying he's as good as at this point, but it's like the Houston Rockets, you know, like James Harden is their guy, even though Russell Westbrook's there. It's like with the Mavericks, that franchise is built around Luka. I don't think we're quite there yet with Tatum and the Celtics.
Okay, so look, I don't think there's any question that Doncic is further along. And he is younger, so that's a good point.
He is younger, yeah.
Yeah, and when I mean further along in the development arc, right? That
yeah.
If you take the age out of it, developmentally, Doncic is further along. Do you have any concerns about Tatum's intangibles, about the makeup?
Not really. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He plays really hard, not afraid of the great players. We all remember the dunk on LeBron in the playoffs. He can be a little soft-spoken, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You can be a lead-by-example guy. I don't have any sort of concern. The one thing I will say about Luka that I think is interesting, and I heard you guys talking before, I do think Luka has that killer in him. Like, he wants to rip your heart out and show it to you on the floor. And I don't know if Tatum has that.
Okay, so then there is a little bit of doubt there about makeup.
I mean, I guess if you want to say it,
yeah, I'm not
say it that
Chris,
way.
It doesn't mean, Chris, it doesn't mean he's a bum. It just means that if you're talking about makeup now, you think that Doncic has the makeup and intangibles of an alpha.
Yep.
That you have no doubt about it. And with Tatum, we don't know yet.
Well, Tatum is a dookie. He might be on to something.
No, I mean, I just think it's the difference between you seeing it and saying that it's possible. I think with Tatum, we all know it's possible. With Doncic, it's already reality. Like, it is. And he's even going to get better than that. He's also a superior. I mean, we can talk about, look, the defensive edge clearly goes to Tatum. I get that. But I would say equally on the other side, Doncic is a superior passer to Tatum and to any type of passer that Tatum will ever dream of being. And I think Tatum's gotten a lot better as a passer this year. I just forget the assist numbers, just watching the passes he makes, the passes he now sees out of double teams, the way he can think one step ahead now, it's impressive. But I mean, Doncic is on like a LeBron type level as a passer.
Okay. I mean, they're different players in a lot of ways, right?
Yes.
They're very different players.
Yeah.
So I just think if Tatum can ever, let's say he can become a 5-assist-a-game guy,
mm-hmm.
5 or 6 consistently, and turn into a good defensive player, I'll take Tatum's game over Doncic's because he'll give it at both ends of the floor. But stop there because I want to get in a couple of calls here. Dan's in Haverhill on something we haven't touched on yet. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. A little agenda-free Friday NFL take. I think that Cam Newton should sign with the Ravens. I think they have an absolutely loaded roster, and they have one glaring weakness, and that's that their quarterback's a walking injury. I'll hang
on. Okay, Chris, is Baltimore a fit for Cam Newton?
I could see that being a fit. The one thing is, though, you know, can Cam Newton – I think Cam Newton's at a stage of his career where he needs to reinvent himself as more of a pocket passer, and the way that offense is built – around Lamar Jackson, there's a lot of running there, and that's sort of what's gotten Cam Newton hurt in the first place. So I think while he would certainly fit on paper, I think it might behoove Cam Newton to go somewhere else where they use him in a different way than he's been used throughout the course of his career.
Just he's got to feel so insulted today with Joe Flacco signing with the Jets.
Totally.
No, seriously, like I get that Newton's got injury concerns, and I think that they're real with the foot and the shoulder. And even though doctors really haven't been able to check these guys out because of the pandemic, what do you think would be more serious, a shoulder and a foot? And to be able to play, or a neck injury?
A neck.
That is what knocked Flacco out last year. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, the only difference is that Newton isn't going to be a backup, right? Newton's not going to go somewhere and be a backup. So,
like he was ready to acquiesce because I think he just wants work.
Maybe. But I still think there's a chance somebody brings him in. It might be after the start of the season. Quickly, our buddy Rocco in Saugus. Go ahead, Rocco. Is he there? No, Rocco. Maybe I dropped him. Did I do that, Jimmy? It's quite possible.
Likely.
Fast. Ken in South End. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, guys. Heard you debating Jordan versus Brady and who's cooler. The key difference for me, Brady's marketing the fountain of youth to 40-year-old guys. Jordan has always marketed to 15-year-olds. And 15-year-olds today still think Jordan's cool.
So, you know, look, Ken, again, I just think that it speaks to relatability. And I'm using Murray's word. That everybody buys a pair of sneakers. Everybody wants a cool pair of sneakers. How many guys can buy a $150 bag of nuts and worry about their diet? I mean, it's a completely different market.
I mean, Jordan.
So if you want to say Jordan has that advantage, yes, he does. And I think that that's a big and the cool factor. Jordan is way more relatable to the average human being than Brady is.
So much
that's
so
all.
That he's made me consider buying tighty whities again for the first time in 30 years.
Those Hanes commercials, right? Fruit, or is it Fruit of the Loom?
No, it's Hanes.
Except with the tighty whities.
there's a stain issue there. You can't really get rid of easy. So.
Yeah. Tidy whitey's not the way to go.
I mean, there's a drip issue.
But if there's anyone that could get you to wear tidy whiteys, Jordan's the guy.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll wrap it up with Chris Gasper. There's one other thing I want to ask him from a news item during the week that I think Gasper is among the very qualified people to speak on. We'll do that when we come back.
Boston's home for sports. Phil Gernas, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, quickly, before we say goodbye to Chris Gasper of WCBB, and did I say earlier Gasper of the Globe? If I did, it's an old habit, my friend.
I didn't hear it, so okay. No worries.
Maybe it was just in my head. Seriously. I still think of you as a newspaper guy, at least until you sent that email this morning. Because, there used to be this long preconception, Murray, years ago, that newspaper guys were sort of the smart ones and the informed ones, but the TV guys were prettier and dumber. And I always thought of Gasper as a newspaper guy until this morning. Now he's neither.
Now he's just a guy who reads a teleprompter, huh, in your mind?
So I'll ask Jimmy Stewart. We played a cut from Peter Gammons yesterday. He was on a Chicago radio station earlier in the week talking about the price this pandemic will have for Mookie Betts in particular, who is due to be a free agent at the end of the year. Gammons made an observation that I thought was interesting to say the least, but really beyond that. So, Jimmy, if you have it, if we could quickly play that cut.
Free agency is going to be a whisper for the next 3 years. There are a few people that I like better in baseball than Mookie Betts. I thought he was going to make between $350 and $400 million. He'd be lucky to get up to $250 in free agency this coming winter if they play. And it's just the reality of the economics. And it's true in almost every business.
So, Chris, first of all, again, the idea that, you know, I think what a lot of people lose sight of, and average fans, and not that they care about it, but as much as we talk about the pandemic and getting back on the field, the business of these sports is going to change dramatically, I think, over the coming years. Baseball's CBA is up at the end of 2021. The entire structure of free agency was already in question. There are going to be massive, massive changes here, not just in this coming off season. I think that the ripple effect of this thing is going to extend out for years. Gammon says Mookie could end up with $250 instead of $350 or $400. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I mean, you have to look at the economic environment in baseball. I mean, already right now, we have the owners sort of saying that they don't have the finances to really finance a season unless the players are willing to take less as it is. So, yeah, I think that – and also when you look at the last couple of free agencies anyway – we've all seen the numbers depressed. So you throw in a huge economic dip across the board, they're going to be even more depressed. It's unfortunate for Mookie Betts, but his timing's going to be bad. I mean, he might be better off signing, you know, some sort of deal that has an out after 2 years or something and trying to hit the market again after that.
So, Chris, this is a purely hypothetical question. Okay, and again, if Mookie does go the one-year deal route that you were saying, remember, too, that by the time he goes for the long one, if it is 2 or 3 years down the road, he might be 31 years old. Right. And so all of a sudden he's not looking at a 12-year deal like the one he wants now. He's going to have to at least chop 3 years off of that or something like it. Maybe he's looking at a 6-year deal. Right. And I just mean that the ripple effect, again, could be huge. The Red Sox allegedly offered Betts in the spring of 2019, depending on what you believe, 290 or 310 over 10 years, I think, or over 8 years. I think it was either 8 or 10. But it was around $300 million. And this is purely hypothetical. I'm just asking for your gut. If he were here and they offered him that contract now, would he take it?
I think he would, yeah. I mean, the circumstances obviously are different. Yeah, I think he would take it now. I think he would take that deal.
So then you think his departure here was largely about the money?
No, but I'm just saying, given the situation and given what's happened for all of us, the way life has changed and given life with this pandemic, I think it's a lot harder to turn down that sort of money, even if maybe there is another market you would feel. I think Mookie Betts liked playing for the Red Sox. I think he liked his teammates. I think he liked the organization. I think that there are other markets, even though he liked the fans here, he would be more comfortable in because the spotlight's not as bright.
Sure. Yeah, it's not for everybody, right? I mean, we're a little nuts here. We're a little nuts.
It's a little suffocating to be the face of the Red Sox, and that's not for everyone.
Totally. And look, again, it's part of what makes this market great, but as everyone says, your strengths are your weaknesses, and it can also be a big turnoff for a lot of people.
Sounds one soft thing before, to me, yeah.
One thing before we let you go, and I feel compelled to do this because we talked about it yesterday, that there was a story this week out about the kind of masks that people are wearing during the coronavirus. So we know that yours are probably made of silk or cashmere, Hugo Boss, Louis Vuitton, Saks Fifth Avenue, wherever it is that you get your stuff. But the average person out there, one of the masks that they're choosing is extremely popular. Murray, can you tell Chris what the mask is that is most popular or among the most popular for people out there?
Of course I could, Tony. I'll gladly dance for Chris and tell him that the public has turned to an unlikely ally in the fight against COVID-19. Masks modeled after Bane from The Dark Knight Rises. Yes, I'll dance for you, Chris.
Because once you buy the Bane mask, you see, then you too can talk like Bane, but still be a miserable citizen like everyone else right nowadays. They put it on.
They will destroy the economy. Then when it's done and Boston is ashes, then you have my permission to die of coronavirus. Noisiness and deception. Powerful agents to the uninitiated. But we are initiated, aren't we, Karen? Members of the meddling neighbors. And you betrayed us. You don't fear coronavirus. You welcome it. Your punishment must be more severe. That's why you have to go wait in the line at the local Shaw's for 90 minutes to purchase toilet paper and lunch meat. Ah, yes. I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your mind from the never-ending deluge of bad news.
See, don't you want that instead of your fancy mask, Chris?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, if I could talk like that. Oh, Bane gets me every time. Thank you.
So, Murray, you told us yesterday that was one of your favorites, Chris.
Oh, it's my favorite. It makes my day. I literally want my voicemail on my phone to be Jim, like, doing the Bane.
It can be for $15.99 on Cameo, Chris. I'm available. Lord knows, I'm not on steady ground with this job, so I need all the money I can get. Let's not stand on ceremony here, Mr. Casper. Put on the mask if you're going out for a jog. How can you be so selfish? Do you want my grandmother to die? Don't you run away from me. I'm not done yelling at you. I demand you join hashtag team lockdown. Get back here. Put on your mask. Wear one like Bane. People are knitting them. You can buy them on Etsy now. And pin them.
So, Chris, we'll send you...
I feel like I got to buy one now. I mean, I want to live the bit.
Murray, if you get one, get two, because I want one.
Oh, that's incredible.
Seriously.
I got to catch my breath.
We'll send you into the long weekend with that. Are you guys on tomorrow?
I'm on with Arcan.
Yeah, I'm
Oh,
just,
all right. Murray's bailing on you.
I'm taking it off. I need a medical
break. Attaboy, Murray. That's right. Let him sail alone after that email this morning. He deserves to fly solo.
On with Arcan, 10 a.m. to 1.
Seriously. What a load that was. Chris, thank you for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
You too. All right. Joe Murray's got your headlines here, and we will continue with the Gender Free Friday, largely caller-driven in the final hour. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.